Carters are pulling up tonight?
I mean, are they in America? I mean, the thing is, you really don't know because they can be anywhere in the world at any point. So they've definitely been before. So it might be one of those years where they're just like, we know that our property is good. We don't have to check on it this year. But at the same time, like, who are some of the like main acts that...
So the headline,
because if they're like friends with a few of those, that they'll definitely be there.
Now, here's what's interesting, because I was actually looking at the tour schedule just mm-hmm. because I was curious. And yeah. I'm a big Jay-Z fan. Well, a little less after Lemonade. But
oh, dang.
But what was interesting that they don't go back on tour until September 11th. And the headliners this year, in my opinion, it's not a strong
But Kendrick, slate. Isn't Kendrick here?
Kendrick saved it.
So then they might be here just because they're like, they respect Kendrick.
Okay, so yeah. That means Sunday night's the time to go. Mm-hmm. And that also means that the two headliners, aside from them, are Post Malone and Nicki Minaj.
Mm-hmm. And Beyonce is like tight with Nicki, even if there's like issues. I feel like they're those kinds of like pop star industry friends where it's like, I respect your hustle.
I guess that's a good one.
So I could see them being here just because of that.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for all the ticket buyers. Now to on more regular, more relevant news, I should say.
Okay.
You wear so many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
You're an author.
Oh, we should tell them who I am, what my name is.
By this time they know. But why don't you tell us about your stage name, which mm-hmm. is which is still pronounced Lauren, right?
It's still pronounced Lauren, it's just spelled differently.
Why?
Because I want to be myself. It's a bit like Will Smith in The Fresh Prince choosing his character as Will. His name is Willard, but the character was William. But people know him still as Will. And I figure if you're going to know me one way, it should still sound the same.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Does your alter ego, because I feel like when people make a move like that,
yeah.
there's an alter ego that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So does your alter ego do something a little bit different from you in real life?
Well, Lauren, L-O-R-E-N, is I would say she's just a more intense version of me. She's the me that people...
She's more intense?
She's the... imagine look shocked. But yeah, I think she's a much more... she's just me without a whole lot of filter. Because I think there's a lot of people will tell you as like a female and as a human, you know, you're doing too much or you're too much like this or whatever. But she doesn't care. She's a bit like me in business though, because I'm also quite, once it's about, you know, if it's my book, Rafe and Rose, The Death Letter, or if it's about, you know, I just plug things. I'm a good plugger. So if it's about that, or if it's about, you know, Argon or something, and I feel that there's any kind of, you know, misunderstanding of my vision, I get really protective. And I think she's someone who just doesn't hide her aggressive or protective side.
So you wear so many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
You are in tech. You mentioned your company, Argon, mm-hmm. that you run with Papa Dearest.
Mm-hmm.
You are also an author of mm-hmm. Rafe and Rose, The Death Letter. I was going to say it. And you have also dropped your new EP. Out of those hats that you wear.
Called The Cold Kingdom.
Goodness, what did you say?
Listen, you didn't say it. It seemed like the appropriate time.
Of the hats that you wear, do you have a favorite?
I think right now the music is my favorite. But I think that's just because it's the most personal. I think that's normal.
Tell me about where Cold Kingdom came from as the title for an album.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know how people say, like, as an artist, like, Picasso had his blue period. And Kanye had basically everything around 808s and then kind of that dark, twisted, et cetera, yes. et cetera. I think when you're in the process of building something, you kind of have that heaviness and things feel a little cold because you're building and things aren't where you want them to be. And so, it, you know, that plus watching like a bunch of shows about like the medieval times and things like that kind of came together. And, you know, America was, at the time I was writing, it was in a much better place, but it just feels like right now too, it was so fitting to keep that name Cold Kingdom because it's become a lot colder to a lot of people.
Now, so. Your musical taste has always been pretty eclectic for mm-hmm. as long as I have known you. Mm-hmm. For those who see you and go, oh, wow, this looks like it could be really cool, and they press play and they're going to be both shocked and also like, this is really cool.
Okay, good. I was like, please be positive, Sean.
No, it was going to be positive because I'll admit the first time I heard it, I was like, I remember looking at you like, did you do that?
Yeah, your face was really like, your mouth was open. Your jaw dropped the whole, and was like that for like a minute. Yeah,
the whole song.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is amazing, but I would never have expected it. So,
What did you expect? What do I like look like?
See,
I
would that's a like. Very good question because it also depends on one's personal listening experience.
Right.
I am very much into hip hop, jazz, R&B. You would call it this very stereotypical black sound, but Stephen Curtis Chapman is also one of my favorite artists.
So. Yeah, I grew up on him too.
My little CCM moment.
Yeah, you know.
So I was thinking it might have been a slight mix of that, and it was none of that, which was as terrifying as like, is my black card going to get pulled for liking this? I don't understand.
Oh my gosh.
But it's also very good work. So
yeah. No, your black card won't get pulled if you're connected to excellence.
Boom. I like that you said that. Yeah. So I want to know a little bit more about the process itself because people sort of think songwriting, you sit down, you write down words, you give it to someone who knows to play the piano or whatever other instrument. Ta-da, it's done.
Yeah.
How does it really work?
Songwriting, it's a little bit of staring at a piece of paper, looking at the other person if you're working with somebody. I got the chance to work with three really great writers, John Storr, Jamian Williams, and Aaron Rauch. And it was a little bit of kind of sitting and I'd say, well, these are the things I'm thinking or feeling. This is kind of what I want to write about. Or I might've had an idea. A lot of them, I pretty much came in with the songs like half baked. And so then they would kind of pull their own, you know, style into it. So sometimes we would go, while I was out in, I recorded this in Tennessee. So while I was out there, we'd go onto the back porch and basically stare off into just trees and like, because there's a pretty nice backyard situation, just write on the patio with a pad of paper and think. And so it depends on who you're working with, but I think it's a lot of just feeling really vulnerable and writing things down that you think might sound like crap. Yeah.
I mean,
and then hopefully they don't.
Yeah, like when you're a perfectionist, that's sort of what it is.
Yeah.
Why now?
Why now, as in why?
Not just why did you release it now, but what made you actually want to foray into your artistry?
Yeah. I think there was, I always wanted to. So, you know, it was more a question of, you know, when, not if. And definitely now, because I felt like the industry can be a little bit, not to get too woke, but it can be a little bit sexist. And there's kind of this age range where new female artists are allowed to be interesting and mainstream, and I didn't want to wait another 4 years. And then I think also it just felt, because of, again, Cold Kingdom, like this concept of America kind of feeling a little cold to a lot of its, you know, potential citizens and citizens, it felt like it fit the time.
So as things feel so differently, were there any other aspects of your life that could be applied to what you were thinking about?
What do you mean?
Well, put it like this. I feel like when you, like, let's go back to Kanye's 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah.
He was going through a lot of relationship stuff with that was very highly publicized.
Yeah.
So was there a moment like that for you that was also poured into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, so much of my personal experience went into the writing. And I think in a very abstracted way, so it's not like this one person here whom I'm going to name, except I'm not going to name him, but I'm going to put him in my liner notes. It wasn't one of those kind of moments, but it was... just when you're dealing with relationships in general, you have a lot of push and pull and people who you have to understand or who have to get to understand you. And, you know, I was just really frustrated because I felt like I wasn't being listened to. And then dealing with people who express how they feel about you and you're like, oh, I didn't know that that was where we were going with this. So some of that also popped in, and like, you know, fear and different songs were as a result, you know, me dealing with like, I don't know how I'm supposed to handle this, you know?
How do you feel about relationships at this point?
How do I feel about relationships? I think they're good things. I am of the mindset that, you know, when it's supposed to happen, it will happen. I am single. but, you know, I am also actually happily single. I think relationships are supposed to make you a better version of yourself. And if they're not doing that, then you should just be a better version of yourself on your own. A person is just there to add to what's already blossoming, you know?
So how long does that take for you?
What do you mean?
In terms of being the better version of yourself mm-hmm. for someone else to then make better. Mm-hmm. I doubt you'll put a timeline on it, but what does that look or feel like to you, that process?
I think personal satisfaction is how you'd like define that kind of stuff. You know, if you feel like, oh, okay, I kind of hit whatever marker I was going for. So for me, it's certain career goals or certain fitness goals and certain things like that, where it's like, I just want to present a variation of me that I'm proud of, regardless of who I'm presenting it to, you know? And then, and that's good. And I also think you can be on the journey to being that fulfilled person. And that's also good timing.
So when it comes to working out your creative works, mm-hmm. the book came if I've got the timeline right, the book came either a little bit before or during the same time as the recording.
It was actually, I did the book when I was, the first version of the book when I was 20. And the recording came a few years after that. So, the book was first. The book was originally like a movie script. It was like, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
So for those who are not familiar with it, and the link to purchase the books will be in the description.
Hey.
Tell us about it.
Rafe and Rose is a present action adventure YA novel. It's about teenage twin billionaires who travel around the world in search of a device that's trying to kill them. It's got a lot of hijinks and silliness, laugh out loud moments, but also some deep drama, some sexy moments. It's a little bit of everything, and it's definitely designed for people who both enjoy reading and who don't enjoy reading.
So are we talking about, when we say teenagers, we're talking 17, 18, right?
Yeah, in this first book, they're actually turning, we watch them turn 18.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Why is my nose so itchy? It's like this one spot. Yeah.
I don't know whether you're sort of itching with more excitement.
No, I don't know. I think it just might be maybe a hair that I'm not noticing. Anyway.
Yeesh,
go ahead.
As we sort of foray more into the book, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has genres. What mm-hmm. do you consider your genre to be?
Action adventure.
Okay.
You know, it's the thing is, people of different ages have read it, and the feedback is, thank goodness, positive. The people who usually it's how do I describe it? I describe it as present action, and that's due to the fact that it's written so that you're thrown right in. Right? It's written in the present tense. Every perspective is happening right now. Typically, when you read books, it's John walked to the door, then he opened the door, and everything is past tense. Versus where, you know, why I call it present action, you have Rafe opens the door, he steps through the door, he looks to his left, he looks to his right. Rose is behind him. They both fall down. There was a hole in the floor. So you have it's a much more engaging, gripping narrative because it's happening right now, and that's pulling from you know, my love of comic books when I was younger.
Who are some of the writers that sort of inspired you as you went about this journey?
I would say definitely I think comic book writers. I grew up collecting Archie comics, which seem really sweet and fun, but they always had, you know, adventures that were going on, and Jughead was always like traveling to the future and various things. So the action and adventure actually popped up in there. I think every like cartoon, like Digimon and all those things, were more inspirational to me. Writers, I think Michelle Sagara, she's a Japanese Canadian writer, I believe. She was also another one. She writes really great female characters, really strong characters.
I'm sure that you've heard from some well-wishers, some wishing that they had the cojones to try to do what you're doing. They probably said something to the tune of, you know, you should try and focus on one thing and then everything else will work.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not doing that. So yeah. Why?
Because it doesn't feel natural. You know, it isn't my natural inclination to do just one thing. It's my natural inclination to do a lot of things. And it can actually be, I think it's more painful for me to, and I don't know, if you're not an artist, it's kind of hard to get that understanding when, you know, this urge to create is not exactly manufactured. It just happens. It's a part of you. It's a part of your spirit, and it comes out regardless of whether or not you want it to. And so all of these different ideas are natural, and I couldn't stop it if I wanted.
That's well said. So thanks. Where can we find not just your work? Like I said, I'm putting the link to the EP and to the books in the description, mm-hmm. but how can people keep up with you?
Okay. So you can keep up with me generally on my social medias, socials. And that's Lauren Creating, LaurenCreating. And that's on Twitter and Instagram. The YouTube channel is coming. To get the second edition of Rafe and Rose, The Death Letter, that's Amazon. And you can get that for paperback and Kindle. And the audiobook is coming quite soon. The EP is available on Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, iHeartRadio, basically wherever you can stream music.
I.e., no excuses.
So The Cold Kingdom, go get it.
So.
There's no the, it's just Cold Kingdom.
The best part about what I get to do is that when there are opportunities for live performances, we have them.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your band and tell me what you're going to play today.
Okay, so my band right now consists of a guitarist whose name is Asim Barnes and a drummer. His name is Tariq. He did not tell me his last name. We literally just met.
Wait, what?
But he's great. He's great. He's over there like cracking up. And he's going to be on the cajon. So it's going to be a really acoustic set. And we're going to play two songs off of Cold Kingdom. The first will be, I think, Crystals. And then we round out with Cold Kingdom. And yeah, it's really, you're going to like it.
Bingo, you opened with my favorite track off the record.
Everyone keeps saying they like that one.
So there's your single.
I mean, you know, both of them. We're going with both.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Lauren, you took the trip. You braved danger, seen and unseen, and GPSs
that lost their mind.
But thank you for making the trip.
Of course.
I'm ready. Like, let's go.
All right. Let's do it. Y'all ready? Yeah.
Why do you only hear when we're fighting? I question what is the worth in trying. Your heart inside is as cold as ice, and I can't see why. Tell me how you can stand and watch them die. We're always like this. Crystals bursting into flame. Crystals bursting into flame. We try and try to communicate. We just explode crystals. strike and twist the knife in. After all these years, our words remain so biting. Tortured by your cutting glare, my anger flares. If you take me down, I'll bring you with me fighting. We're always like this. Crystals bursting into flame. Crystals bursting into flame. We try and try to communicate. We just explode crystals. It's always like this. I'll do what you say. Fire draws near, we'll burn anyway. Crystals bursting into flame. Crystals bursting into flame. We try and try to communicate. We just explode crystals. Crystals bursting into flame. Crystals bursting into flame. We try and try to communicate. We just explode crystals. Survive it. On we go. Times are hard, but we'll survive it. On we go. Through the ice and snow. In the the cold kingdom. in the cold kingdom. Cold kingdom. In the cold kingdom. Cold kingdom.